When I was growing up, my parents gave my brothers and I a bunch of rules. And when they gave us these rules, we perceived them as rules that were given to us to oppress us. We saw their rules as limiting our freedom. But in reality, they gave us rules to help us. They gave us rules to protect us. They gave us rules to help us to thrive in our freedom and our ability to live holy as individuals and also in harmony with our community. Some of the rules involved, we couldn't watch MTV, right? They saw MTV as a station that had shows on there that were dangerous for our minds because they could inform our minds with information that could change the way that we thought and spoke in a very negative, maybe distasteful way. They had a rule that we had to come home at a certain time. I mean, we played basketball almost every single day at the local gym, but we had to be home before dark, right? To protect us. And we didn't like that rule. We thought that rule limited us. And so on one occasion, I came home from playing basketball a little bit later than I was supposed to, and my mother was concerned about me, and so she expressed her concern for me breaking the rule. I didn't really receive her concern too well, and I responded to her concern in a very negative tone. I talked back to her, and I spoke to her out of turn. And whenever I spoke to my mother in the way I did, all I remember is after those words came out of my mouth, whatever those unnecessary words were, my dad stuck his head outside the door and looked at me. And when I saw my dad look at me, it was as if he transformed from being my dad into this bull. And I was red. And he came charging at me. And I went running out the door. Now, y'all, it was around November or December. It was freezing cold. It was raining outside. And I imagined, you know, my dad's a respectable man in the community. He's not going to want the neighbors to see him chase his son down the street. But as I got further down the street, my dad was right behind me, running after me. And I kept running. And I was screaming, "Help! Help! He's trying to hit me! Somebody help me!" But nobody was going to come outside in the rain and the cold. Now, by the grace of God, because of my youth, I was able to outrun my daddy. And I got to the other block, and so he had to give up in his pursuit of me. But now I'm in the rain, and it's cold, and it's dark outside, and I'm thinking to myself, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And so I thought about one of my classmates and going to my classmate's house and telling them some sad pity story about my dad beating me or something like that. But I knew if I said that, they might call the cops. And if they call the cops, they would call my daddy because my dad was the captain of police. And so my dad would then know where I was hiding, and he would come and get me, and I would receive the punishment I certainly deserved. So I said, I can't go to anybody's house, so I'm going to go to the park. I'm going back to the park because at the park, there's a slide with the cover over the head of the slide, and I could sleep under there for the night. Even though it's cold outside and I'm wet, I'll just stay under that slide for the entire night and go home the next day. But when I got to the park and I was sitting under the slide and I was freezing cold, I began to think to myself, you know, this might not be wise. I might get pneumonia if I stay out in this cold, wet weather all night. I'm still a kid. I might get kidnapped, right? It's not really safe for me to be here. I might as well go home, but I'll go home and I'll try to sleep on the side of the house outside so at least I could be safe. And so I walked home and I went to the side of the house. At this point, my mom recognized I was gone for a little while, so she told my brothers to go and find me, and so they stopped playing a video game and they came looking for me, and the first place they looked was the side of the house, and they said, "Man, we knew you didn't go anywhere this whole time." And I said, "No, y'all, I promise. I was at the park. It was crazy." And so I went inside. My mom felt really bad for me at this point because she knew that my dad was gonna get me. And so she said, "Look, you just go in our closet and you sleep in our closet tonight, okay? Your daddy never goes in there." So she put a pillow together, gave me some cover, and said, "In the morning, your dad will be fine." The way we did things in my family was we'd be mad one day, and the next day we got over it. And so the next day, everything was fine. But the point of the story is this. I was disobedient to a just rule. My parents' rules that they gave us as children were just. And whenever, as a child, I was obedient to my parents' rules, they did not limit me or oppress me. They protected me from harming myself and causing disharmony in the rest of my community. They protected me and my family. And when I was disobedient to these rules, I inflicted on myself unnecessary suffering, and I also caused unnecessary brokenness in the community. Just rules are meant to protect us and help us to thrive in our freedom and our walk toward eternity. And our society oftentimes gives us rules that are just. If they're not just, we're not called to obey them. St. Augustine says, an unjust law is no law at all, so we don't obey unjust laws. And we know that we have some of those in our country right now. But if there's a just law, we must obey it. What's a just law? A just law is one shall not text and drive, right? Why? Because if I'm texting and driving, I'm looking where? I'm looking at my phone. If I'm looking at my phone, where am I not looking? On the road. If I'm not looking on the road, what could potentially happen? Well, I can cause unnecessary suffering to myself if I get into a car accident by myself, or if I get a ticket, right, for breaking the law. That's more money that comes out of my pocket. Or I could also cause unnecessary suffering to other members in my community. I could bring harm to their lives, even death, all because I broke the just law that I am supposed to be obedient to. This law that doesn't limit me or oppress me, but helps me to thrive. Right? Protects me and other members in my community. This weekend is our last weekend in ordinary time. This weekend we celebrate Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. And anytime we're in a relationship with our King is going to give us rules that we must obey. Certainly in our world, we still have kings in other countries, and some of those kings have unjust rules. And if those kings have an unjust rule, the people in that community do not have to obey those rules. But Jesus, our King, all of his rules are just because he's a good, good Father. He's a good, good God who will only give us rules that are helpful for us in our walk toward becoming saints. All of his rules are good. None of his rules limit our freedom or oppress us. All of his rules are given to us to protect us and to help us to thrive in our capacity to become the saints that God our Father created us to become. So what are some of the rules that Jesus Christ has given to us in the Gospels that discipleship demands that we obey in our walk toward eternity? In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus Christ presents to us a number of rules that are not optional. They're not optional. If we want to be saints, we must obey all of these rules. We cannot pick and choose the ones we like. We must obey all of them. Here are some of the rules that Jesus Christ gives to us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. He says, when I am hungry, you must feed me. When I am thirsty, give me something to drink. When I am naked, you must clothe me. When I'm in prison, visit me. When I'm a stranger, welcome me. If we disobey these rules, they're not suggestions, but they are clearly rules given to us by our King, the fruit of us disobeying these rules is other members in our community are going to experience unnecessary suffering. People in our community need food and they need drink, they need clothes, they're in prison, they need to be welcomed for many different reasons. A number of the people in our community struggle with mental illnesses that leave them homeless. And we can't assume that they're homeless because of their own choice. Some members in our community are homeless and on the street because of traumatic events that have happened to them in their lives, because of abuse that they endured at the hands of individuals who were supposed to love them. People are homeless in our community for a number of reasons that it's not up for us to determine whether they're worthy of us giving them food and drink and clothes and welcoming them and visiting them when they're in need. If we choose to not give ourselves over to them, they're going to suffer unnecessarily so, because Christ is expecting us to be His hands and His feet and His eyes and His ears and His voice. But not only are they going to suffer unnecessarily so, but we're also going to suffer. And our suffering, unlike theirs, isn't just going to be temporary. It's not going to be temporal suffering. Our suffering will be eternal. When Jesus Christ spoke about the reality of heaven and hell, and He spoke about this reality all throughout the Scriptures, one of the ways that we are certain to go to hell is by denying our brothers and sisters food and clothes and drink, by dismissing them when they want to be welcomed, by ignoring them when they want to be visited. Jesus says very clearly in the Gospel of Matthew 25, you will go to hell if you don't take care of me and the poor. If you deny me, my Father will deny you. He never said in the Gospels that we would go to hell if we forget to pray our rosary. It's a good thing to pray our rosary every day. We should pray the rosary every day. But He never said if you forget your rosary, you're going to hell. He never said if you miss your holy hour of the Blessed Sacrament in the Adoration Chapel, you're going to go to hell. Never said that. It's a good thing to do that. That helps us to become disciples. But if we miss it, we're not going to go to hell because of it. But He was very clear. If you neglect the poor, I will deny you. Very clear. Now, every single Sunday, I preach the same message. Every single Sunday since I've been here. God the Father created each and every single one of us in this church for no other reason than because God desires for all of us to become saints. Right? I don't want any one of us to go to hell. As your pastor, that is not my desire. I want to help all of us to respond to Jesus Christ the King's rules in obedience and serve the poor in our community. Serve those who are in need. And the poor in our community, are some of them are financially poor. Some of the poor are emotionally poor. Some of the poor are physically poor. Some of the poor are spiritually poor. The poor are many. We are the poor. I'm poor. I stand before you as your pastor, and I acknowledge my poverty of spirit. I need to grow in the spiritual life. I've not made it there wherever there is. I am poor. So I need you to help me to grow spiritually, because I'm lacking as your pastor. If you deny service to me, if you deny access to me, if you deny me and walking with me and accompanying me, unnecessary suffering will happen for you and I. So what are we going to do here at our parish to help members in our community to grow and to thrive in their walk toward eternity? Well, what we're providing is the Full of Grace Cafe right here on our campus. Sometimes I hear excuses. You know, I want to give to the poor, and I want to serve those in need, emotional need, physical need, spiritual need, right, temporal need. But I don't have time to drive all the way to Baton Rouge. I don't have time to drive all the way to New Orleans. Well, we don't have to. We can come right here on our campus now. Because at the Full of Grace Cafe, we're going to provide services for members in our community, including me and probably you, who are in need. We're going to have the coffee shop and the cafe that's going to be open from 6 a.m. in the morning to late in the evening. This coffee shop and cafe will provide all of us the opportunity to have community. Who of us wants to be alone? Right? Even if we're introverts, we still need community. We still don't want to be rejected or abandoned. And that's a place for all of us to have community. We're going to have Wi-Fi available, free coffee. Just come and hang out with each other. We're moving Ms. Ronnie Turo's food pantry to the front of the campus now. So that way when people come to receive food from the pantry, from Deacon JR and all of our ministers who serve in that capacity, they can also encounter us in community and receive free coffee. They can also pray with us. They can also experience the gift of being invited to receive counseling or legal advice. Like, who of us does not need counseling in this church? Some of the most holy individuals I have met in my walk toward eternity priests and religious and lay ministers go to see a counselor at least once a month. Seeing a counselor is not something that should be taboo. We're going to provide counseling with Catholic Charities for anybody, for any needs, for couples, for kids, for old people. We're going to provide counseling for women through Women's New Life Center, for women who have struggled with infertility, miscarriages, abortion, stillbirth, women issues. We're going to have a counselor available for people who have been traumatized in their life, any kind of trauma. We're going to provide a lawyer who will give legal advice to people who are in difficult situations and just need somebody to help them discern what their options are. We're going to have a fertility care clinic in the Full of Grace Cafe where Brandy is going to meet with people and help them learn about their cycle, especially if they have endometriosis or cysts on their ovaries. If they're struggling with infertility, she's going to be able to help women find out why they're infertile and not just give them some kind of band-aid, but actually go deep into what's the underlying issue. Eventually, we're going to have an ultrasound machine there for people to be able to see their children in the wombs of their mothers. We're going to have a dining room available for breakfast and for lunch and for dinner and for after-school tutoring for kids who struggle academically or just want to grow academically and intellectually. We're going to have a hair salon for anybody in the community who wants to get their hair done and wants to be prayed over while they get their hair done. We have a diaper bank. Our Lady of Grace diaper bank is going to be in the Full of Grace Cafe for anyone who has a child who's in need of a diaper. We're not going to check how much money you get paid before we give you a diaper. If you need a diaper, it's for you. A laundry room to do laundry, a blessing bag room so that every Sunday when we leave church, we can go in the cafe and pick up a brown blessing bag that's going to have in it a bottle of water and a gift card to a restaurant and a NutriBar, some prayers and information on how to get plugged into the sacraments. It's going to have information of other homeless shelters and women's shelters and battered shelters in the area so that whenever we meet people on the interstate and they ask for money, we can actually give them resources that can help them and food for today. And we can ask them their name and we can say, hey, can I pray for you right now? If you need more of this, Full of Grace Cafe at Holy Rosary has more for you. Come and visit us. We're going to have a kitchen available for our parishioners who are good at cooking to serve in that capacity. Space in our cafe for people who are able to help individuals with resumes, as well as a Bible study room for people who want to grow deeper in their relationship with Jesus Christ in the context of community. We're going to have a convent in the cafe where eventually we're going to have religious sisters living there, praying there, and accompanying people in their walk toward becoming the saints that God desires for them to be. And all these services will be provided right here on our campus. Bishop Duca is coming on Saturday to bless this gift. And this gift will be a resource for our people in our community and for us. Because all of us, when we give, we're going to receive. And some of us, including me, are going to go to also receive while other people give to me, to feed me, to help me become the saint I'm called to be in my walk toward eternity. So here's what I want to invite us to do after Mass. After Mass today, we're going to have a number of ministers outside at a table with sign-up sheets. And I want to invite all of us to sign up, put our name and our number. And over the next month of December, we're going to start calling you and praying with you over the phone to discern with you, how can you use your gifts that God gave you to plug into our community? Or what can we do to provide services for you in your walk toward eternity? I imagine December is going to be kind of crazy. I imagine December we're going to be working out all of our kinks. And so it's going to be messy and it's not going to be rolling the way we probably want it to happen. But by January, we're going to have all those kinks worked out because we're going to have the whole month of December to find out what works well and what doesn't work well. But in order for anything to work well, we must be obedient to Jesus Christ, our King of our universe. And we must listen to the rules that he presents to us in the Gospels that authentic discipleship demands we follow in Matthew 25. And if we follow his rules in Matthew 25 that do not limit us or oppress us, but protect us from the fires of hell, his rules enable us to thrive individually and communally in our walk with Jesus. If we thrive in our walk with Jesus as individuals, as in a community, in our walk toward eternity in this life, then we are guaranteed that we will be able to receive the grace of perseverance and remain in communion with Jesus Christ, our King, in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity as saints.